Sometimes it's good after a service to get some kind of feedback on how things went, but not necessarily that kind. Well, good morning. Before we start, we'll just wanted to give you a little update on that leadership conference that happened here yesterday. As you know, for the past month or so, we were announcing that there was going to be a leadership conference, and we were trying to get some key leaders and volunteers and so on involved in being there. And when Vision Ministries came in yesterday, we had about 7 or 8 church groups here, which was wonderful, about 60 people. 2/3 of the chairs were out, so we had the round tables and people sitting around round tables. And it was a really, really great time, not just to rub shoulders with those people and to cooperate and interact, which is a great thing to do. But the neat thing is, too, that our church group, at the breakout times, we broke up into 3 smaller groups. And on a couple of different things, when we got back together, we realized that we've been talking about the same things. So that's kind of neat when God affirms the things that are on our heart and the things that we want to be thinking on and planning on as a church. And so it was an exciting time. And we're going to do it again sometime. Anyway, Bill McRae's gone home. Safely, I presume he got off that icy driveway. And so we're back into Colossians after a bit of a 2-week break having Bill here. And this morning, you've heard the passage read that we're going to look at. And we're going to talk about your wardrobe. Now, this happens to me quite a bit. Maybe it happens to some of you guys, perhaps more the gentlemen. But this will happen to me often. Getting ready as a family to go somewhere, or just me to go somewhere, or Alana myself to go somewhere. And I've picked out what I'm going to wear. And I come downstairs, and the fashionistas in my house look at me and go, no. You can't wear a dark navy shirt with black pants. It doesn't go. You can't put stripes with ties, stripes with spots, or whatever it happens to be. And I'm sent back upstairs, and I have to change my clothes for something a little more appropriate. Has this ever happened to anybody here? Okay. Not willing to admit it, eh? Okay, that's fine. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about your wardrobe. And in fact, there's a key image in the passage that we're looking at today that's all about putting on the right clothes. And Paul, in this letter to the Colossians that we have been studying through, has, in the first part of the book, spent a lot of time correcting some theology. As you remember, there were some influences going on in that church where people were trying to convince the believers there that their faith was about Christ and something else. Christ and these other teachings. Christ and this kind of worship. Christ and being super controlled on your body. And Christ and the law. And all these different things. And the first part of the book really focused heavily on Christ alone. Just Christ. Christ is everything that you need. And as we have transitioned in this book, Paul takes a little more of a practical turn and now starts talking about, if Christ is all you need, how should you be walking? How should you be living? What kind of people should we be? And in particular for that church, the things that they needed to focus on and obviously things that we'll pick up out of there. But the key image in this particular section that we're looking at today, as Paul gives some practical instruction to that church, is about what they wear. He wants them to put on some new clothes. Now, in the heart of the passage that Jason dealt with a few weeks ago, Paul instructed them to get rid of a bunch of things. And in fact, in Colossians 3, verse 8, if you look in the NASB, it talks about putting some certain things aside. Or in the NIV, it says, rid yourselves of these things. And in the King James, it says, put off all of these things. And the word that's being translated in different words is about taking a piece of clothing off. That's the word that's used. Taking off a jacket, taking off a shirt, taking off a pair of pants or a shoe. The word used there is about clothing. Taking something off. And so Paul explains to them the kind of things that he wants them to take off. So for example, in Colossians 3 verse 8, but now you also put them all aside, or take these things off: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth, and so on. And we're not going to go into that. Jason dealt with that. But I want you to see that in our passage now, Paul goes and uses the same image again. But this time, he talks about putting something on. Or in the NIV, clothe yourselves with. Or in the King James again, put on, therefore, the things that he's talking about. And so, in this passage today, Paul specifically took the analogy of a new set of clothes that he wants the believers to wear. And trust me, I'm pretty sure by the time we get to the end of this, you'll agree that these are things that we all ought to be wearing. These weren't things specific to that church. These are the uniform of the believer, if you will. The article of clothing that he wants us to wear. So, this morning we're hoping to discover a couple of things. If you're tracking along, and as some people, you want to know how close you are to getting to that lunch, just where are we in the process? We want to discover a couple things. First thing we want to discover is, what is our motivation for dressing right? Now, at home, I know what mine is. I just don't like all those rolled eyes. So, I'll go and change. But in this situation, will Paul give us a motivation for dressing right? We're going to discover, wow, that's in shadow up there, eh? We're going to discover that God is the fashion designer. God is the fashion designer. We're going to discover what our options are. Are we rolling? No. There we go. What our options are in terms of this clothing. This is going to be a bit of an experiment, okay? This is the first time I hold this thing and push buttons. Don't be distracted by it. Because I will, then one of us is enough. So, the other thing we're going to discover, 6 items that every Christian wardrobe requires. You know that you can read these articles in the papers or magazines, you know, 6 items that you really need to have in your spring wardrobe. But what are the 6 items that every Christian needs to have in their wardrobe? And my favorite, what are 2 undergarments that you should never leave home without? All right? And you'll understand why I chose that, not to be funny. I only realized afterwards that I used that title that it was perhaps a little funny. But there's a specific reason why those 2 things are undergarments in your wardrobe. Okay? So, okay, let's go through this. What is our motivation for dressing right? Well, let me tell you, there's a couple of things related to your motivation for dressing right. The first thing that's related to your dressing right... is it depends on where you're going, what you wear. Doesn't that make sense? In my closet, I've got some clothes. You know I'm in the closet business, so I've got a closet. So on the side, in my closet on the sides, you hang clothes, and in the center, there's a nice shelf tower. And the shelves are actually even labeled. Alana actually did that part to keep me organized. I don't actually put things back on the right shelf, but she did go through the effort of labeling these shelves. And the top shelf actually says grubby. That's what it says, grubby. What's on that shelf? Jeans with rips in them, sweatpants that make me look fat, and shirts that have paint all over them. Okay? So when I want to do some work around the house or do some work in the yard, I am allowed to go and pick clothing from the grubby shelf. Okay? And go and do some work in the backyard, however rare that may be. But the problem is, and this has happened several times, when I'm in the middle of doing one of those jobs, and I realize, I need to go to Renault Depot and pick up such and such an item, and I head to the front door, and the troops are there to stop me. No. You can't go to Renault Depot dressed like that. Why not? People are going to see you. I don't know anybody at Renault Depot. You might know somebody at Renault Depot. You're not getting out of the house like that. Where you're going, see, the clothing that was appropriate for working in the backyard, my grubbies, was not appropriate for stepping out of the house and going and doing something else. And we could go through all sorts of different sets of clothing that you have, where they're appropriate for. But the fact is, where you're going decides what clothing is appropriate. Well, does Paul motivate us when he uses this imagery of clothing to tell us where we're going? Why don't we reread those first 4 verses that we read together, that Jean read for us, from Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. Look here, the motivation he's going to give for us for where we're going, and it's going to apply to what we want to wear. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Where are we going? Where's our destination? We're going to be in glory. We're going to be with Christ in heaven in glory. Is it appropriate that is it possible that my grubbies are not appropriate for that? Is it possible that there's certain attire that is appropriate for somebody who knows that they are hidden in Christ, for someone who knows that they are destined for glory? He gives us the motivation to wear the right thing. Now, the motivation to wear the right thing doesn't just depend on where you're going. It also depends on who you are. Now, if any of you follow the news, like many of you do, you know that up there you see Prince William and Kate Middleton, who are getting married soon, a new royal couple. Very exciting for those of you who are excited about those things in my house. And the interesting thing, though, about clothing is that Kate Middleton has been getting a lot of bad press lately because a lot of people believe that she dresses too provocatively. She dresses inappropriately. Dresses up to here, dresses down to there, or whatever. She's been getting a lot of flack. Now, interestingly enough, in her country, the musicians who dress that way don't get that kind of flack. The movie stars who dress that way don't get that kind of flack. She's getting that kind of flack. I'm not promoting her dressing that way. I'm saying, why is she getting that flack? Because in their mind, how you dress depends on who you are. She's going to be a princess. So there's a special way to dress in their minds if you're a princess. Does that make sense? Does Paul, in this passage, suggest to us, if he's going to try to encourage us to put this clothing on, he wants to motivate us not only by knowing where we're going, we're going to be in glory, but by knowing who we are? Well, let's look at the very first verse and the second chunk, Colossians 3, verse 12. What does it say? So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on this clothing. Yes, he does. He reminds us that how you dress, what motivates you to dress, is based on who you are. And who are we? We're those who are chosen of God. Not just the people in Colossae, every believer. When they're going to read this through this passage and be motivated or not motivated to do what it says, they need to remember that they are chosen of God, that they are holy in His eyes, that they are beloved. He loves them. And so, who you are is going to motivate what you do with this clothing. So, motivation, where we're going, glory. Motivation, how to dress, who we are. We are the chosen of God. We are the holy ones. We are beloved. Now, the fact is, you might think it's a bit of a funny thing to talk about clothing, but God loves talking about clothing. I know one of my kids would be excited to hear that. God loves talking about clothing. God uses the picture of clothing all the time. God is the fashion designer. Whether he's using it symbolically or intentionally, from Genesis to Revelation, you can see God acting as the one who designs and prepares clothing. Adam and Eve. Let's go right to the very beginning. Sin comes into the garden. They're ashamed. They're naked. They try to make clothing. How does that work out? Not so good. Fig leaves and so on. Not very good. He comes along and does what? He provides their clothing. He has to kill animals to do it, which is an interesting thing right in Genesis, that blood is shed to cover our shame in this. But he provides their clothing. I'm going to use this one that is not a picture of God, but Joseph, we know, is such a type of Christ, isn't he? We all know that the story of Joseph, we see that Joseph is such a picture of the Lord Jesus. Well, guess what? In Genesis 45, when Joseph is finished playing all those games and charades with his brothers, and he reveals himself to his brothers that he is their brother, and he forgives them, he then sends them home, guess with what Genesis 45 says? New clothes. Interesting. The priests, as we know in Exodus Leviticus, were given God-designed, God-fashioned wardrobe, even to the material to be used, the colors to be used. God decided what they were to wear. In Zechariah chapter 3, God does a beautiful picture about clothing. Zechariah 3, a wonderful book that starts off with a call to repentance. Zechariah starts with God calling out to his people, return to me so that I can... can return to you. In other words, repent so that I can forgive you. Turn to me so I can return to you. And in Zechariah 3, one of the visions there, imagine it's about clothing. Let's read this vision. It says, I guess I really didn't pick a good background there, because I keep putting some of the words in shadow. But it says, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? What a beautiful picture of salvation. Referring to Joshua who's standing there, isn't this a burning stick that I've saved out of the fire? What a great picture. And now look what he's going to do. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. He spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, remove the filthy garments from him. And again he said to him, see, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and will clothe you with festal robes. Then I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So he put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments while the angel of the Lord was standing by. God, the fashion designer, God teaching us, imagine, through the imagery of clothing. So, we've seen Adam and Eve, Joseph and his brothers, we've seen the priests, we've seen Zechariah. Let's move into the New Testament, why don't we? Why don't we? What about this story? The prodigal son. What happens to the prodigal son when he comes home and his father embraces him? Immediately his father says, let's give him the best robe. Let's put a ring on his finger. Let's put sandals on his feet. He clothes him. What about, let's go to Revelation. I promised you Genesis to Revelation. In the Revelation, the martyrs under the throne, calling out for justice. When are you going to finally give us justice? When are you going to solve things? They're told to wait a while, and they're each given a new white robe. And even the bride of the Lamb in Revelation 19, the bride of the Lamb, which is the church, it said in Revelation 19:16, is given to come to the wedding, fine linens to wear. God is the fashion designer. God is the one from Genesis to Revelation who clothes and who provides the clothing. And each of these pictures, God provided the clothing and gave it to them. Now, who are we, did we said? We are, according to the verse we looked at a few moments ago, the chosen ones, beloved of God, holy. If we look at this list, don't we see that all of these people were in the same situation? Ones who were beloved of God, ones who were set apart somehow for him, ones that were chosen by him. And he pictured that by clothing them. So when Paul uses this analogy, he's sitting smack dab in a great tradition of imagery that goes all through the scriptures as God tries to teach us things about him. Now, the thing that's important about this image that I want to bring out in this passage is that we've been given an option according to this passage, and we sometimes don't think of it this way. We've been given the option to put on these garments or not. We're used to thinking of these garments in a different way. We're used to thinking of these garments like we see them in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And these are a lot of the same things that are actually reflected in our passage. But you see, we see them differently in Galatians 5. Because in Galatians 5, who is responsible? It's a work of God. In Galatians 5, it's not the fruit of Steve. Trust me, you don't want to clothe people in the fruit of Steve. You don't want to clothe people in the fruit of Angus, or in the fruit of Ernie, or Tara, or of Christine. Wonderful people as they are. That's the stuff we were told to take off in the previous passage. But Galatians 5 talks about these things as being a fruit of the Spirit. It's a work of God in our lives. And sometimes we only think about that part so that we can say to ourselves, well, I guess that area of Christian walk, I don't have a hang of it yet. I guess the Spirit of God hasn't gotten to that part of me yet. I guess the Spirit of God is a little behind in that area of my life. I'm sure he'll catch up. He's still working on me. And we take all of the responsibility off of us, don't we? Because we lean just on one section of Scripture. Yes, it's the fruit of the Spirit. But talking about all of these same things in our passage, look at the language in our passage. It talks about our having to put it on, our having to do it, our having to put it on. That means that whose responsibility is it also? Ours. That when it comes to these articles of clothing that we're going to look at really quickly, it's our responsibility also to put them on. And if we're missing one of these garments, it's not because God isn't finished with us yet, necessarily. It may also be because we chose to not put it on. You see, it does happen occasionally. I know it's hard to believe. That I'll come downstairs with that dark navy shirt and black pants, and everyone in my family will say, "You can't wear a dark navy shirt and black pants together." And I'll say, "I'm an adult. I like it. It's comfortable. I'm going to go out like this. It's no big deal. I don't do the stamping part. I maybe pout, but and I'll leave and I'll wear it anyway. Why? Because I'm a free human being and I can wear what I want, can I? And so can you in your Christian walk. That's the point of this passage. That we've been given the freedom to put on these things, but sometimes we don't. And so Paul commands it. How do I know it's free will? Paul can't command us to do something that we can't respond to. How fair is that? But Paul commands us to do these things. Therefore, there are things that we can choose to obey and choose to do. Does that make sense? Some nodding heads there? Okay, so let's see what some of this clothing is. Well, it's familiar stuff. And I'm going to give you like a one-sentence definition on each of them because you know what these things are. The heart of this passage is our understanding that it's clothing that we choose to put on. But the first one is a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion, well, you might not prefer the King James, which has bowels of mercies. I can understand why that got changed. But heart of compassion is talking about in your inner being connecting with the pain and suffering and joys of another being. Really, truly feeling with them. Because that will guide how you behave towards them. Really, not just intellectually, but in your heart, in your soul, understanding what they're going through and being there with them. Kindness is literally, the word there literally means goodness that's acted out. We know what are good things. James talks, we did a series in James in the past while, and James certainly talks about doing, not just knowing. Go, be warm, be fed, and we don't take care of the person. That's not kindness. Kindness is actually acting out and doing the things that we know are good in our community and with each other. Humility, not false humility. Oh, shucks. Humility is truly understanding our position before God as fallen creatures. Truly understanding our position before God as saved by grace. Truly understanding our position around each other, that it doesn't matter how fancy your clothes are, how big a car, what great a job you have, or what skills and talents you have, we're all sinners saved by grace. And that's how we treat each other, based on that basis, in humility, not in lording it over each other, based on skills, what we have, position. Gentleness. It's easy. It's the opposite of being rough. I heard a great analogy recently in terms of a leadership situation where the person, and you've heard it before too, right? The old killing the fly on somebody's forehead with an axe. You know? That's not gentle. It's nice to help the person with the mosquito or the fly, but you don't use an axe when you're doing it, right? There are ways to deal with people. Patience. Not the patience that grins and bears, that grits its teeth. The kind of patience in this passage says bearing with one another. Literally, putting up with one another. And forgiving each other. And what kind of putting up with one another and forgiving each other, it says in this passage? The same way Jesus did with you. I can tell you, I know he puts up a lot with me. Stop and think a moment of the things that Christ has had to put up with in your life. I'm busy with my own thoughts right now, okay? But for yourself, what are the things Christ has put up with in your life and then forgiven you? And that's how we're to treat each other. And then the last one it says is put on love, the perfect bond of unity. And the word bond there is something that ties things together. So I got to assume in this analogy, it's the belt of our outfit. The love is what holds it together. It makes all the other things work. The love is what keeps the belt is what keeps the pants from falling down. The belt is what lets you tuck the shirt in. You know, it holds it all together, makes them all work. Are you sometimes like me? Are there some articles of clothing that you just don't like, find uncomfortable, don't want to wear? I would challenge you to look through that list and write one of them down in your bulletin somewhere. The one that challenges you the most. The one that is most difficult for you to put on. The one that is maybe like last summer when the kids and I were learning to scuba dive and I was trying to put that wetsuit on the first time. Like stuffing a sausage back in the casing. It took about 20 minutes the first time to get that thing on. I don't like wearing wetsuits. You got to scuba dive. But I don't like wearing it. So I'm not going to wear it around the house. Okay? It doesn't go in the grubbies pile. Doesn't go into the go-out-to-the-store pile. Okay? What in this list is your wetsuit? What in this list have you said, well, I'm so good in so many other areas. This one I don't need to put on. It's okay. I know I don't see any pens moving, so I know you're shy. If you're not going to write it down, could you at least be honest enough with yourself to identify it and not tell anybody? That's okay. But maybe just tell God. Which is the one that is your wetsuit? These are outer garments. If I take this jacket off, you know I took the jacket off. If I take the shirt off, you'll get a notice I took the shirt off. These are all outer garments. Guess what? You're being shy about this and you don't want to tell anybody, write it down. We know which one you're not wearing. When somebody's not wearing one of these garments, everyone knows. Did that surprise you, by the way? You thought you were keeping a secret that you're not gentle or you're not humble or you're not kind? These are outer garments people generally notice. If you're not sure which one of these you struggle with and you're really, really brave, ask your spouse if you're married. They know which one that you don't wear, okay? So we need to wear all of them. We need to wear all of them. This is an incredible verse which tells us why we can wear them. Look at this, Galatians 3:27. All of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And it's the same word put on in the original language as is used in the Colossians passage. If we've been saved, we have put on Christ. Wow. No wonder when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin, he sees him. And no wonder Paul can tell us we can do those things, because all the things in his life, in that list, aren't they things that Christ was? Wasn't Christ compassionate? Wasn't Christ kind? Wasn't Christ patient and forgiving? Wasn't Christ loving and so on? The theology of it is, when we are in Christ, we have put on Christ. And therefore, we actually can put on and do those things. But the enemy likes to tell us sometimes, no, that's just an area of weakness for you. It's okay. Don't even need to worry about that. You're so good in those other three things. But we have clothed ourselves with Christ. What an amazing picture. What an amazing gift. All right. Undergarments you should never leave home without. Why are these two things undergarments? The other list, if you're not wearing them, we all know. You think it's a secret? We all know if you're not kind. We all know if you're not humble. We all know if you're not compassionate. We all know if you're not forgiving. These next two things that Paul wants to encourage us to do are undergarments because we don't see them. I don't know about these two things, whether you've put them on or not. You don't know whether I've put them on or not. They're undergarments, okay? And the actual fact, it's a neat picture, because Paul doesn't challenge us to put them on. There's a beautiful piece of theology on these two things, which is, we already have them, whether we want them or not. We have to resist taking them off. You ever seen a baby that just can't keep its clothes on? There's some babies that just have to get naked and run around the house. Isn't that true? And it's a crazy thing. It's not a good thing by the time you hit a certain age, but when it's a little toddler, it's cute, okay? There are certain things that we need to resist taking off. like that itchy sweater that, you know, we want to take off. Or when we were kids and my mom made us wear a hat and when we got around the corner, we took it off. Here's two things we need to resist taking off. The first one, in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The fact that it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, tells you that the peace of Christ is already there. Now stop interfering with it. Stop ignoring it. Stop taking it off. Resist that. Let the peace of Christ rule of your hearts. Didn't Jesus say, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Christ promised he gave us peace. It's not maybe you can get peace. Maybe if you go to the right church, if you read the right book, I've given you peace, he says. Peace is yours. Stop taking it off. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians. There's a promise there that peace is there. Peace is there. We need to stop, you'll forgive the common parlance, we need to stop going commando. We need to stop not having the peace in our heart. I can't look at any one of you and know whether you're letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You can't look at my life necessarily and see whether I'm letting the peace of Christ rule in my hearts. In my interactions with people, in my understanding of my salvation, in my dealing with the challenges and stresses of life. You don't necessarily see that in me. I don't necessarily see it in you. It's an undergarment. But Paul challenges us to let it happen. Stop taking it off. Resist the challenge to take it off. And the other undergarment we should never leave home without. Let the Word of God, the Word of God, do what? Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. We know that one. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the Word of God dwell in your hearts. You know, we look at this verse and we think, oh, this is all about the importance of teaching and admonishing one another and getting the right kind of songs. Those are all good. It's important that we have the right kind of teaching. It's important that we have that we interact with each other. It's important that we sing songs that are the good songs. That's not what it's talking about. The focus of the passage isn't to those people who do teaching and admonishing and singing. The focus of the passage is to the people who receive teaching, who receive admonishing, who participate in the singing. To let the Word of God dwell in you richly when that is happening. Remember, when this was written, people didn't all have 16 different Bibles in their houses, plus all the ones they can get on the internet. They came to hear the Word of God, to be taught. They were instructed one-on-one and admonished. They sang songs that helped them remember theology. They didn't have their own Bible. And so to let the Word of God dwell richly for them meant what? When those things are happening, let the Word do its work in you. Don't be blasé. Don't be thinking about your grocery list or your things to do at work tomorrow. Don't be tuning out. Some of us come to church to fellowship and to worship, but don't let the Word have its lordship while we're here. Do you see that, how we could be missing that piece? We could fellowship, we could worship, but we could choose our whole life and our Christian walk to not let the Word of God that we're exposed to in so many ways have its lordship and change us and help us to decide how to live. And Paul says, let it. Stop resisting. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell richly. Well, I hope you discovered some area in which maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, way to go, faithful servant. That's happening. You've put that article on. I hope you've also had the Holy Spirit nudge you in one of those areas, either an outer garment or an undergarment, where the Holy Spirit is saying, that's your wetsuit. That's the one that's uncomfortable and that you don't like to put on and you choose not to. And I would love it if you did, because you're my beloved. We've learned about our motivation for dressing right and all those things, wherever they are. And I can't help but think this morning in closing, John and Sue, where are you?
John and Sue.
You're going to be dealing with clothing this week, right? You're going to be packing. You're going on a trip. You're going to have to choose what to wear. And we hope you bring some of these things with you because you're good missionaries. Isn't that how we sometimes think? The clothing is for all of us staying home too, right? If we went to work without our pants, we'd look pretty funny. There's a family story there that I can't tell you right now. Because someone in our family has done that. But if you went to work without your pants, you'd look pretty funny. You'd feel pretty embarrassed. We are God's beloved, the ones he has chosen, the one he has called, and he has laid out for us what he wants us to wear tomorrow. And our challenge from Paul is it will put every one of those things on.
Let you stand as we